We will read together in Acts chapter 24 and verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor, that's Felix, against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man," that's Paul, "a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us with a great violence, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayst take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offence toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nations and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, whereof he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. A lot in this chapter is familiar to us because it is a recounting of the events that we've already mentioned in the previous chapter, the previous couple of chapters, really. But what we do see here from this repetition is just how implacable the Jews were against Paul. He had gone to Jerusalem at the Passover in order to worship at one of the most important feasts. And yet here, within a few days of that feast, the high priest and the council have traveled all the way from Jerusalem to Caesarea. What did we say? Was it 75 miles or so? Certainly many miles. And I imagine that because of the scale and the largeness and the organization of the feast at Jerusalem, that these high priests and council would have been very much engaged in the activities of the feast. But now they've got to travel to Caesarea within days of the ending of the feast. And that just shows us how intense was their passion against Paul and against the gospel. They even brought with them a lawyer, a man who was probably a Roman according to his name. And they would hope that this man, having good language skills and good abilities to speak well, and who was speaking as a Roman to a Roman, might endear them to Felix, the governor. They had been ordered to attend, yes, and there was perhaps some anxiety that having beaten Paul and tried to kill a Roman citizen, that they wanted to make sure that they were able to state their case clearly. But it was firstly and primarily because they hated Paul and they hated Christ and they hated the gospel that they came to speak to Felix at Caesarea. And Tertullus, he knew his job. He was a smooth talker. He gave plenty of compliments to Felix, and he was careful in his accusations. He chose his words carefully. I wonder if you noticed that he called Paul a pestilent fellow. You know what he said there? He said, this man is a pest. This man is like a plague. This man is like a virus. He is causing so much trouble in the world today. It's like he's a virus. He's a pestilent fellow. And he creeps around and his message is going into people's life and causing them damage and causing them trouble. And he also called him a mover of sedition. And that is a phrase that Felix would have been very aware of, because Rome was very cautious about anyone accused of sedition, and they always endeavoured to put sedition down, rebellion down, as soon as it arose. And they also accused him of speaking against the temple and against their religious laws, as if to say, you know what, Felix, you could really just leave this man to us and we'll deal with him, because we can accuse him under our laws and we'll be rid of him and we'll probably be doing you a favour. And it all sounded very reasonable when Tertullus spoke to Felix. But he was, of course, spinning his argument. He was exaggerating and he was using twisted excuses in order to make the Jews' case sound good and Paul's case sound bad. Paul, on the other hand, his defence was very simple. He denied the accusations against him in the court, and he pointed out that there was no proof for the allegations that were being made. And then he said, let me tell you, Felix, what this is really all about. These Jews are offended because I teach the resurrection of the dead, because I speak the truth. That was what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And that is what happened to Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. And of course, the Jews hated that because they wanted to suppress the fact that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. But here was Paul going around preaching it to the whole world. And that's what the Jews hated. And Paul says, this is what it's about, the resurrection from the dead. He is saying, I preach that believers will be raised to everlasting life and that the wicked will be raised to judgment and damnation. And he spoke too about hope. He spoke about hope towards God. Now, the Jews allowed for religious people to have hope, but Paul preached about hope to sinners. And that was the big difference between the Jewish religion and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's an important point, because religion teaches people to be good, to do good, and therefore to expect good. But the gospel offers hope to sinners. And that's the great deception of religion. Religion has no hope in it. Religion actually mocks men and women. Religion laughs at men and women's inabilities by selling them a lie. But the gospel meets sinners at the point of their need, and it shows them hope. It shows them the way of life in Jesus Christ. It gives hope to dead men and women, and it speaks of a resurrection from the dead. Whether that is to new life in Christ and the spiritual rebirth, or whether that is at the end of time when all men and women will be raised again. Those believers will be raised to everlasting life, and those who are unbelievers, they will be raised to everlasting punishment. And perhaps Felix realized that there was something very powerful in this gospel message, because he clearly did not want to make a judgment at that time. He realized that there was something here which intrigued him and maybe even interested him. And so he postponed the judgment, and he said that he planned to hear Paul again on this matter at another time. Now, I imagine, although we're not told, that the Jews simply now returned to Jerusalem, and I can also imagine that there was a lot of uncertainty about what this meant. And Paul was detained in what seems to have been some kind of open prison, because he really wasn't a threat to anyone. But it's what happens next which I think is interesting, and I just want to close on this point today. The end of this trial, the end of the passage, gives us something to think about. Felix did hear Paul again, and he brought his wife to hear Paul. She was a Jew or a Jewess, and she came to Caesarea, and he brought out Paul in order to let her hear him speaking too, thinking perhaps since she's a Jewess, she might have more understanding about what Paul was talking about. But when Paul began to speak, we're told that Felix trembled. He trembled at the power of Paul's speech. He trembled at the effect of Paul's message. He trembled in the light of the ministry that spoke of the risen Christ. And in verse 25 of the passage that we read, we see there these words. As he reasoned, that's Paul, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." The righteousness that Paul spoke of here is a righteousness that is required of God, and a righteousness that is unattainable by men and women, by boys and girls. A righteousness that is available only in the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by trusting him and believing in him and committing our lives to him. And the temperance of which he spoke, that's an interesting word. We don't use it very much these days. But it was perhaps a polite way of exposing Felix's sin and exposing Felix's guilt. It's as if to say, "Thou art the man," to Felix. Paul was saying, "You know what, Felix? You haven't been a good man." And as he spoke about temperance, he was showing that Felix was a sinner and he did not have the righteousness that God demanded. And then he spoke about judgment to come, the certainty of justice, of accountability, and of eternal damnation. And well might Felix have trembled as these three topics were explained and set out to him. We all should take note of these three topics because they comprise that gospel message which shows us that there is a righteousness that is needful but is found only in Christ, and that our sin will be judged and that God will be vindicated. Felix asked for a convenient time. He thought there would be another time, a later date, when he could think more about these things. And you know, many people have rejected the gospel, imagining that they would have another opportunity to hear about the Lord Jesus. But that opportunity never came. Felix did speak to Paul again, but we are never told that the gospel convicted him in the way it seemed to have convicted him on that day. He was more interested in money. He was more interested in pleasing the Jews. His opportunity had passed, and the gospel had passed him by. Oh, might we be people who hear the gospel both in our ears but in our hearts, both in the preaching of the gospel, but in the power of the gospel. And may God the Holy Spirit give us grace to realize that that righteousness that we need is to be found in Jesus Christ and in trusting him. There is a warning here for us all. All who hear the gospel of salvation by Christ and ignore it, reject it, or despise it, will be judged and damned and separated in hell forever. May God grant us grace to hear and believe the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of peace with God, and the way of escape from judgment. Amen.